Hey, y'all, Uncle Jimmy here. When you speak for yourself, you're forced to think for yourself. And when you think for yourself, the sports world looks different. In order to enjoy this podcast and this show, you need to have the courage to look at the world from alternative points of view and not be offended when you disagree. Speak for Yourself isn't your Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram feed. SFY tells you what you need to hear and not what you want to hear. So, welcome aboard, buckle up, and enjoy the ride.
We start in the NBA. It appears the richest man in American sports, Clippers owner Steve Ballmer, is also a gamer. Mortal Kombat. After acquiring Knicks forward Marcus Morris at the trade deadline, Ballmer called Clippers coach Doc Rivers into his office and gave him some final instructions for the season. The him being LeBron James, the her being Jeannie Buss. The battle for LA remains a one-sided, unfair fight, primarily because Ballmer is a self-made billionaire from Detroit, comfortable playing boardroom Mortal Kombat, and the Buss children inherited their wealth and grew up playing Mrs. Pac-Man. Ballmer doesn't want to win an NBA title. He wants to demolish the Los Angeles sports landscape and remake it in his own image. In order to accomplish that, he must crush the Lakers and Jerry Buss's heirs. At a net worth of $51 billion, Ballmer is the modern-day Alexander the Great, the Greek king and military strategist who was undefeated in battle throughout Asia and Africa. Alexander the Great famously said, "I'm not afraid of an army of lions led by a sheep. I'm afraid of an army of sheep led by a lion."
Message.
Well, what about an army of lions led by a lion? That's what Ballmer has constructed for the Clippers. A pride of lions. Jerry West, Doc Rivers, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Montrezl Harrell, Patrick Beverley, Marcus Morris, Lou Williams. In comparison, the Lakers look like a small battalion of lions and cubs led by a sheep. Hours after the Clippers landed Morris, Jeannie Buss was spotted courtside seated with 32-year-old NBA retiree Darren Collison, and LeBron was allegedly texting with 34-year-old cast-off J.R. Smith. Collison and Smith are the counter to Marcus Morris? Really? This is an ugly game of Mortal Kombat. The Lakers lost round one, the Paul George to Oklahoma City Thunder, and eventually to the Clippers. The Lakers lost Kawhi Leonard to the Clippers. The Lakers lost both games they played against the Clippers. It's now time for the fatalities. Steve Ballmer is attempting to destroy the Lakers. If the Clippers win the title this year, is there really any reason for Anthony Davis to return to the Lakers next season? If AD leaves, what's the motivation for LeBron next season? Paul George and Kawhi Leonard turned down opportunities to play with him. Young stars don't want to play in LeBron's shadow. Ballmer the Great is conquering Los Angeles. He's going to finish LeBron, Jeannie, and the Lakers. All right, joining the desk now are Fox Sports NBA analysts Rick Bucher and Doug Gottlieb of Fox Sports Radio. Marcellus, I'll start with you. Think Ballmer versus Buss. Could that mismatch, could that lead to AD and LeBron leaving the Lakers?
No. I'm an L.A. native, and L.A. is undefeated in terms of people from out of town coming here and saying that they're going to use that round trip to go back. They void the other half of that trip. They stay in L.A. So LeBron came here for other than basketball reasons. So he's staying. AD has a slight chance. You could poach AD if you attack him in one way and one way only. Oh, what an empty legacy. I can hear it right now. The same thing that they're going to start attacking other players, let's say Giannis, James Harden, other players who was like, all these numbers, all this greatness, MVPs, were the championships. And if the Lakers look like they're not going to have any championships in sight, then maybe you could get AD to go to Chicago for what? I don't see a championship there, and that's the point. So I'll be remiss if I didn't talk about this mismatch a little bit, though, of how energized Steve Ballmer is to not only take over Los Angeles, but take over the entire NBA. He's self-made, and being a businessman like he is with his acumen and his accomplishments, don't forget he was 12th into Microsoft, but became richer than even the second in Paul Allen, rest in peace, because he played the long game. He didn't sell off his shares. He believed in the company and rode those waves. This is a guy who now is attacking from all other levels. A lot of it's unseen to a lot of the fans out there. Biggest NBA foundation, biggest NBA youth development program. You go around Los Angeles right now, good luck not seeing the Clippers logo everywhere. And don't forget, Jeannie Buss gave fuel to this fire with her email that she didn't think was going to get out, saying that, didn't Steve Ballmer know what I did to my brother in negotiations for the new stadium? They're going to build a new arena in 2024, while the Lakers are still be paying rent at Staples Center that would be almost 30 years old at the time. This is not a fair matchup from team ownership, from the sidelines in terms of coaching, and even the teams now because of the move of Marcus Morris distancing them from the Lakers. It's going to be ugly out there if you're rooting for the Lakers because the Clippers are here.
Short answer, no, this won't cause both of them to leave. It could cause Anthony Davis to potentially leave. LeBron James, everybody keeps forgetting this. LeBron James didn't come here just for basketball.
No.
He came here because he wanted his family to live here. This is where he wants his sons to go to high school. He wants to be in Beverly Hills. He wants to be able to produce shows. It was a lifestyle move as much as anything else. And at this point in his career, it makes no sense that he would go anyplace else. And he's with the right brand. I mean, to whatever the Clippers do, they will never succeed the Lakers label on this town. Yeah. We've already seen that.
Yep.
So that's not going to change. Now,
I don't believe that. Continue.
Anthony Davis, I've been able to observe the relationship between LeBron and AD. It's very good. If everything stays equal, if they have the right level of success, then I don't see him going anywhere. But if they don't, then there are plenty of voices that think that Anthony Davis should be someplace where he gets to run his own ship. And whether it's Chicago or it's New York, there's going to be opportunities to go to a major market and do that. I'm not saying it's necessarily the right thing for AD to do, but there are people in his camp who do. And if they have an early exit as a result of not doing anything, of Ballmer snatching Marcus Morris from them, then ultimately, yes, I could see Anthony Davis leaving.
What part of, I know where you live in LA. I haven't seen anything, Clipper. All you see anywhere is 8 and 24.
You need to go on the other side of the 10, brother. Where the real LA is.
They're Laker, they're Laker fans. They're Laker fans that can't afford Laker tickets, so they buy Clipper tickets when the Lakers play
against. That's the common man.
You guys are out of your, the Clippers are not overtaking the Lakers. Stop it. Because they have one team. Like, look up there. Wilt Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson. Kobe Bryant just died. He's an absolute icon and legend. That wouldn't have happened had he left and gone to the Clippers. Do I love this Clippers team? Yes. Was it a good move to get Marcus Morris? Yeah, I guess. Like, that's not really what they need.
That's not a guess. They didn't give anything up to get him.
Oh, okay. But they need rebounding and rim protection, and they didn't really get it. Like, he's not really known for his interior defense. He's more a stretch big who's a good, tough player that does kind of fit in with their mantra. And look, the Lakers get Darren Collison. That's what they wanted to start the year. And, oh, yeah, by the way, that would be Darren Collison turning down the Clippers, who he used to play for, turning down Doc Rivers, who he used to play for. And, oh, yeah, by the way, like, you talked about the email that was leaked out there. Jeannie's a savage, man. She may have a nice smiling face, but it was a coup d'etat to get the team back from her brother. Do not act like
she's... You know, that's a different war, though. Beating up your brother than beating up Steve Ballmer.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's harder war. To beat up your brother. In family war?
Jeannie is showing up with Linda Rambis, and then Ballmer is showing up with Jerry West. You trying to say that she's beating up somebody?
I love it. This is not a fair fight. I revere Jerry West. He's the greatest executive in the history of this sport. Okay, they have built a beautiful basketball team. I'm telling you're going against 50 years of history. They have LeBron, who, look, I think Kawhi is a better player, but will he stay healthy for an entire
I'm not arguing that.
Paul George is never healthy. Like, we're talking about, like, one move. They wanted Kuzma. That would have been a terrible trade.
Let's reset the argument. I'm not arguing that this isn't a Lakers town. There's a lot of old money, old Hollywood that is established here, just like the Lakers. Established here. It's like going to Dantana's. Like, oh, it's a great steak in the 80s. Yeah, and it's still people who go there now. But guess where you go if you really want to go hip and who's running the town?
Tell me. Where do I go?
I ain't telling y'all. Okay. I'm going to be up in there. Maybe Wally's. I don't know. But the point is this. That's what the Clippers are after. We're not trying to get after statues and banners up top as much as every single day you're going to now insert the Clippers into a conversation before they were a miss.
Okay.
That's all.
They're not. Look, LeBron's not leaving. okay?
No, he's not.
Your kids are in high school.
Yeah,
he ain't leaving. Anthony Davis, I'll believe it when I see it. I think this is just LeBron telling him, do a one-year deal. And you look at how LeBron's treated him. LeBron has tried to make Anthony Davis into something that he struggles with. Like, look,
if the Clippers win the championship this year, what's your story this offseason into how we going to get it done? And
what are the Lakers going to do to remake themselves to beat the Clippers?
But see, that's the problem.
Uh-oh.
But that is the problem.
Why?
Because the Lakers don't. They ran into this at the trade deadline. They were handing a bushel load of second-round picks, and they'd have to give up Danny Green and Kyle Kuzma. Everybody's all excited. Oh, you can't give up Kyle Kuzma. Kyle Kuzma is your one asset. Your one. What is Kyle Kuzma? Like, when did he become
great? He's been hurt. He hasn't had as good a year as
he had. We'll argue that a little bit. But what I can't just get beyond is this. They haven't done anything since Jerry Buss went away.
Yeah.
And so why are you so convinced? Second-generation businesses handed to kids fail at an enormous rate. That's what we're looking at. They got LeBron James because he wanted to be here. There was no great recruiting process.
Agreed.
They got Anthony Davis because Rich Paul handed it to him. Everybody else has said no. They couldn't get Marcus Morris. Oklahoma City got Paul George. They are failing right now. And so this
they
whole
have the best record in the West. What are they failing? What are they failing? They're going to get
you just went history and said 50 years, and then you don't want to count the last 7 years. Now they have the best record, but guess what? The team with the second best record has the best team and has beaten them twice already this year.
I'm not saying I don't like the Clippers. I'm telling you, the Lakers add Darren Collison as a point guard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Rondo can't play. They've been dealing with the position. He can't play. They're going to cut Rondo, which they're going to get rid of him. Okay? They're going to have Caruso. Is their bench great? It's not great. It's probably not as good as the Clippers bench. But you're still going to have Anthony Davis and LeBron James, Kuzma, and Darren Collison. They have a good team, and they will have the best
record
in the West.
Wow. Whoa. I mean, you got to help me here. You got to help me here. Yeah. They're going to have Darren Collison.
Wait. You act like Patrick Beverly, some great player. Patrick Beverly.
He's in the league.
Okay.
He's not retired.
He retired because he wanted to retire, not because he was washed up.
Once you mentally check out, you just don't flip that switch and turn it back on.
Look, he's been ramping up.
This ain't Michael Jordan.
He's not
going
to be asked to be Michael Jordan.
Well, again, he retired. If he was that important, what important playoff series has he ever been in?
Darren Collison isn't going to be asked to be the best player.
I'm not saying
he's going to be asked to be a point guard on a championship caliber team. He led the league in 3-point shooting 2 years ago. He's going to space the floor. The problem they have is Rajon Rondo can't shoot, okay? And he doesn't really guard anybody.
Their problems are a little different.
Okay, and there's some personality problems there with Rondo. All of that gets eliminated when you get Rondo out of the building.
But hold on. You're not saying that whatever ills the Lakers is Rajon Rondo.
No, but I do think that he's more of a minus than he is a plus.
Okay, but trading Collison for Rajon Rondo does not change the dynamic that their bench is weak.
No,
that
they
have one single playmaker, and that this team depends on Anthony Davis and LeBron James being great every night. And if they're not, this is not the same
team. There's no plan B.
Collison does not change that.
I agree with you that there's some flaws in the construction, that LeBron's not the same guy in terms of shot creation. There's not enough shot creators. They really need a combo guard and a point guard, which I think they'll look for, okay? But we can't create it out of dust. It just doesn't happen. And there are no perfect teams. Just like I don't love some of the things the Lakers have. I don't love some parts of the Clippers. Okay? I mean, Montrezl Harrell is a non-rebounder, non-defensive player.
You got Zubac for that.
He's a great
energy guy.
Okay, so you're going to put Zubac out there and play? Who's he going to guard?
That's the point of the deck. Dan Collison's been in the league for a decade.
Yes.
And only today have I ever heard him discussed as some championship piece. Ever. And the guy's been retired, but now all of a sudden he's a championship piece. He's a starting point guard
Lakers
on a championship team.
That sounds like desperation to me. It's not. He's a double-digit scorer who can space and shoot.
Who's retired?
Well, he's retired because he's a Jehovah's Witness who wants to spend time with his family.
Religion.
He's wired a little bit differently than most of these cats you're talking about being retired. Like, look, if you look at the championship guards that played with Michael Jordan or Kobe Bryant, we're talking about Derek Fisher. You can't put him on the court.
He ain't Derek Fisher, but I hear what you're saying.
Okay, it's what you need. It's the fit that they need
for
this team.
With,
correct.
Yeah, mm-hmm, I get you.
Darren Collison helps.
Yes.
He narrows the gap. He doesn't close the gap with the Clippers. And Marcus Morris only widened it.
Yep.
You may say he's not exactly what they need, but he gives them more. He gives them floor spacing. He gives them toughness. He can defend bigs and then force those bigs to guard him on the perimeter. That's where Darren Collins, now the real, and I love the video sound effects, by
that was great, Whitlock.
That was a good Whitlock.
I'll tell you what, in fact, I didn't hear a lot of the Whitlock because I was lost in the sound effects, and the Pac-Man thing really took me back. Are we just saying definitively that Darren Collison is coming back, A, and B, that he is joining the Lakers?
Right.
Are we considering this
a done
deal?
You don't go there last night unless you're going to. I mean, like, that's like an official recruiting visit, like, right after the trade deadline.
Okay.
Why didn't you make a deal for Derrick Rose? That's why they didn't make a deal for Derrick Rose.
I'm not saying no. I just want to make it clear that we haven't crossed that bridge just yet.
And to answer your question, I continue to believe, like, Anthony Davis is not going to take one shot at an NBA championship and be like, I'm out. I'm going to Chicago. It's one of the worst teams in the league.
No.
Yeah, I agree.
I didn't say
it's
Chicago.
Okay, but if I'm the Knicks?
If I'm Anthony Davis, I go somewhere where I can win a title. And that may be Golden State. I don't know where it is.
Where are they coming up with the money with Golden State?
Same way they came up with it for KD. If you got a chance to get Anthony Davis, they'll find a way. They're pretty smart in Silicon Valley.
They're already over the cap. It's impossible without a trade.
You know what's an indicator of where the Lakers are? Is the pageantry we saw last night. Your own recruiting visit, you bring in Darren Collison on trade deadline night with a hoodie on, and the owner shows up with a hoodie on. They take him off in, like, synchronized fashion.
It was amazing.
It's so corny. Yeah, it's sad because Jerry West is sitting back there in silence like, let me make another move if I have to. I mean, they don't even know where these shots are coming from across the bow. And then they go out and flex, and it's plan B, one. So you're not even impressing anyone because you wanted Marcus Morris, but you were too cute and not confident enough in your negotiations.
Wait, do you think that trading Kyle Kuzma and another piece for Marcus Morris is a smart trade?
Yes, I would say no to that, actually.
Let's hear the yes to that. But that's
we'll
not.
Get
let, me,
that.
Let me say whose opinion matters more.
Yeah.
LeBron James. LeBron James wants to win right now.
Yes.
Kyle Kuzma is about, hey, we'll have a piece later in the future. Trust me, if LeBron James thought there was a chance to improve this team to win right now and admit trading Kyle Kuzma, he's all for it.
Why do you think Kyle Kuzma
changing his hair color every other day is mentally lost? He knows damn well LeBron James wanted him up out of here for a better piece that could help them win right now, because LeBron is about and should be about winning right now. And that's what the Lakers should be about, winning right now.
Not looking good.
I'll give you this. Rob Pelinka has earned the right for us to hold our fire, to see what they do on the buyout market, to see who comes by. Because we were killing them for the roster that he put together at the beginning of the year. And this roster has indeed created the best record in the Western Conference. So yeah, I want to see what's out there. But here's the problem is when I look, you know, we're hearing like J.R. Smith might come out of retirement.
Another hoodie?
Well, hold on, but J.R. Smith as a 10th man is not a 10th.
I'm
going to pat you down, man. Are you wired? You're wearing a wire right now.
No.
It's a whiff of desperation.
It's desperation.
You guys are wrong here, okay? We're talking about in the playoffs, can a guy make a shot as a 10th, 11th man?
Or call a timeout.
Are you the same guy who was killing the Miami Heat that Andre Iguodala is only going to have a tempered effect on that team?
Yes, because what they're doing.
And J.R. Smith, who has not even been in the conversation, is going to come out and he's going to be a factor in the playoffs.
You can't have it both ways.
Yes, you can, Rick, because what are you asking of him? LeBron James's greatest achievement in the history of his career is winning a championship with J.R. Smith as a starting
player. And losing one.
Okay? Hold on. How many years ago? Okay? I understand. Okay? But we're talking about a late signee. They get rid of DeMarcus Cousins' contract to clear space, and you have him on the buyout market. J.R. Smith can come in and make a shot. He's a professional assassin sniper, shooter. That's what he can do.
JR,
I don't
can
want
come
him
in and do a lot of things. I don't not just make shots.
I don't want him to play 35 minutes.
Okay? I get that.
But he can actually guard somebody and he can make a shot. Do I want him to play 30 minutes? No. It's the same thing with Iguodala. If you were to add Iguodala to this team, I don't like him with the Heat because they need him to play more than 15 minutes a game. But with the Lakers, if he was a buyout with $2 million, it makes sense. Same thing with Darren Collison.
We've run out of time. I'm gonna let you go back to the dressing room with Jimmy Buss and Rob Pelinka. God, you've done a hell of a job.
Look around you. It's a wireless world, and everyone needs a great pair of wireless earbuds. But before you go dropping hundreds of dollars on a pair, you need to check out the wireless earbuds from Raycon. You already know Raycon earbuds start at about half the price of any other premium wireless earbuds on the market, and that they sound just as amazing as other top audio brands you know. And Raycon's latest model, E25, is their best one yet, with 6 hours of playtime, seamless Bluetooth pairing, more bass, and more compact design that gives you a nice noise-isolating fit. Raycon's wireless earbuds are so comfortable and perfect for on-the-go listening and for taking phone calls. Raycon was co-founded by Ray J, and celebrities like Snoop Dogg and J.R. Smith are obsessed with the brand. Pick up a pair and see what the hype is all about. Now's the time to get the latest and greatest from Raycon. Get 15% off your order at buyraycon.com/speak. That's buyraycon.com/speak for 15% off Raycon wireless earbuds. buyraycon.com/speak.
Joined now by Fox NFL analyst TJ Houshmandzadeh. And straight from Wakanda, Levar Arrington.
Suge Knighton.
All right, time now for a big story. Let's move to Dallas. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys have been at something of an impasse over his contract. But now Stephen Jones says things are, quote, fixing the heat up. Jones reiterated the team's commitment to getting Dak's deal done, saying they have offered him top five quarterback money because they think so highly of him, which means the team has been plenty generous, offering Dak a salary somewhere between Carson Wentz's $32 million a year and Russell Wilson's $35. Should this be enough for Dak Prescott?
Nope, not at all. And shout out to Stephen Jones. I saw down at the Super Bowl, walked up, me start patting my pocket, saying, where that money at we gave you robbed us for? Respect to the Cowboys. They know what they're doing, and this is game on top of game right here. I think a lot of people in this world live by a thought process that the market sets the value for you as a player. Actually, I set the market for me as a player based on what I will take. And right now, they're talking out of both sides of their mouth because they're saying, hey, you get top five money. And Dak, you know what that suggests to everyone in the court of public opinion? You're not a top five quarterback, so why don't you take top five money? That's a slickster talking right there, because in reality, one, the CBA is going up. Two, when they made Jimmy G 2 years ago the highest paid player in the league, you know what he is now? In just 2 years, without the CBA going up like it is going to go up, eighth. So Dak is basically saying with his representation, do y'all really want to do this? Because if we do this right now, we're going to do this in 2 years. We're going to do this so soon. So let's get a real number. I think Dak is north of $35 million because...
Too much cholesterol. Your cholesterol up.
So here's the thing. Dak is up there because he's trying to factor in the future, the near future of all the inflation factors that are going to be a part of this deal. And if you don't do that, you're doing yourself a disservice. Forget the market. Don't test me. Stephen Jones knows he needs to pay him top five money for the future, not present value.
It should be enough, but it's not going to be. If this was enough, he would be signed already. During the season, they said, we offered him top five money, and he hasn't signed it. He's not signing for anything less than $35 million a year. Yep. And if I'm the Cowboys, I'm not giving him that. I can't go past $35 million. I look at it from this. Are you better than Russell Wilson? No, I'm not giving you more money than him. Sorry. And if you don't like it, let's go see what you can get on the open market. And then come back to me with that. And if it fits into what we want to do, Dak, we can talk. Other than that, I'm sorry. But he's looking at it, what you just said, Jimmy G. Oh, he was the highest paid quarterback. Now he's outside the top five.
You said he's not better than Russell Wilson?
No.
You know what his agent going to say? Guess who's tied for second for the most wins since they've been a quarterback in the league? Russell Don't Wilson matter. And Dak Prescott.
Russell Wilson has a Super Bowl. And
please don't go down the road of
he's you been in be another to get played. Paid. He's played. I we got know
paid.
That.
I got paid more than Bruce Smith. Was I better? Hell no. I got paid more than Junior Seau. Was I better? Hell no. The point is, if you next, you're going to get paid more than them because you're going to stand on their shoulders.
Somebody's going to eventually say, that's not happening.
Yeah, I don't know the argument very well with you and Bruce and Junior. I don't know that one. But I do know this one. He doesn't have a Super Bowl to add to the discussion of the top three with Russell Wilson, Ben Roethlisberger, and Aaron Rodgers. That's first and foremost. You look at Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz, those are comparable guys. All right, those are comparable guys. And I would even say in some debates, you might go with Carson Wentz over Dak Prescott.
Not in January.
I'm just
not
just,
when it counts.
I'm just going with what maybe the argument
did Dak
be.
Play in January?
Yeah, he and did. Won a game. Actually, beat Russell Wilson.
A game.
They beat Russell Wilson.
A game. As it stands right now, he should be happy being in the range of, based off of inflation. I'm not going, look, based off of what range. You're saying.
No state right. tax.
Ain't nobody going to tell you what to sell your house for. Talk about, oh, the neighbor sold for this. And that's state house.
That's
a my
comp.
House.
That's a comp.
That's a
that's
comp.
A comp. Yeah. You can't sell you. A house for much more than what your comps will allow for you to do. So if you're
going
to
sit on that. The market.
If you're going to use that for
and
an
Dak
argument.
Has been sitting on the market.
And he's going to keep sitting.
And the price is just going up.
He just made
the is the
point.
Price going down or the up, point, TJ?
It's not going up. It's not going up.
For Dak, it's going up.
Thank
if
you.
If the Cowboys hold strong, it doesn't matter because they're the buyers. No. If they don't no. pay this
the
money
buyers
out.
The
price for the position is going up. The price for Dak Prescott is not necessarily
LeVar,
going up.
LeVar, top five money right now is less than an exclusive franchise tag. And stop playing with that. Me. Y'all no, talking about I'm offering you top five. I get franchise and make more than what y'all offering.
Public opinion. We've offered you top five money. If we can't come to a deal, this is on you, Dak. Nobody thinks you're – that's what they're doing.
And
they're just trying to gain
the
public.
I hear Stephen Jones to me is playing hardball.
Hard.
These conversations are to get the public to be like – hey, look, man, we offered this guy $32 million, and he said no. It gives the Cowboys, if they want to, if they really want to be dangerous and take a risk, maybe they get into the Tom Brady sweepstakes. Mm. Maybe they say, hey, look, yeah, because I think most football fans, not Dak's agent, not Dak Prescott, most football fans, $32 million, that's enough money for Dak. If he said no and the Cowboys moved on, I understand why. Because Dak has this leverage with one team and one team only. Nobody else, if he hits that free agent market, nobody's hitting him with $32 million a year.
I disagree with that.
I believe he'll get 32. He'll get 32.
And Jimmy G got 27 2 years ago with five games winning with the 49ers and two with the Patriots.
He looks better potentially than Dak. That's why. People think Dak is a solid quarterback.
Looks are deceiving, brother, because Dak has more wins. And Jimmy G win percentage, but Dak
potential. They pay on potential.
Jimmy G just played in the Super Bowl.
He did. Yeah. Now, I'm talking about 2 years ago, Jimmy G.
All right.
When he got paid the highest in the NFL.
But,
not now, Jimmy
but
G.
But no one would look at this Dallas team and say, we saw something exceptional this year that we'd say, you know what, let's go with this.
In terms of Dak, he had a career year.
No. This team was not an exceptional team in the National Football League.
Heading into the
year.
Season, they were supposed to be exceptional.
And grossly underachieving.
And the defense did more of the underachieving than Dak.
Team
MVP for the Dallas Cowboys.
If you're
going
to pay a man top five money, then he should be doing in spite of.
I can give him top five. But it's outside the top three in the top five.
Didn't y'all just talk about comps and precedent?
Yes.
Now, guess what? Jimmy G set a comp. How do you get the highest
paid? Is Dak one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL? Just to be honest. If you were sitting here drafting the top 10 quarterbacks, you would want in 2020.
I dropped my pen.
Would Dak be there?
What'd you say?
Again, 2020.
Feel for 2 minutes.
That's right there. That pen right there.
Where's my pen?
Oh, this earpiece.
Seriously, if you were drafting, he's not top 10.
Jimmy G wasn't top 10 when I paid him the most in the league.
We're only
Carson
talking about
Wentz,
Dak.
Carson Wentz, Jared
should
Goff.
Should this be enough for Dak? We're only talking about Dak. We don't need to be,
I'm saying this range.
The 10 Is he one of the 10 best quarterbacks in the NFL right now?
But if you're even looking at those ranges, he's not.
That doesn't matter. I hate when we do this, a subjective experience of, are you going to get paid? Dak hits the open market, he's getting 32. Let's bet on that. Dak stays there.
He should get 32.
Woo!
He should.
But that's the old market. That's not the new market. But that's basically the old market,
though. Name me the team that would give $30 million to
Dak. There's a team that's
going to pay him. No. Don't speculate. Name me the team.
Well, it would be speculating if we
Because there's a lot of moving parts. This is the most loaded free agent.
You can't think of a team. Would the Bengals do it? No. Would the L.A. Chargers do it? No.
You know who I think would? Tampa Bay.
No. Man. Hell no.
Leftwich, Arians.
That's a possibility.
Weapons, and they like, we could get somebody who does protect the football and put up career numbers second to only Jameis Winston in passing yards and protects the football. Oh, that's an easy equation right there. So Tampa Bay's
one. That's not a bad one.
And see, they got maybe the Bucs.
They got good receivers.
They got it.
Yeah.
They just need somebody not give away all the points that the Jaguars. Jameis Winston did.
Oh, they wouldn't.
Why not? The Jags. They just paid Nick Foles. They just paid Nick Foles last year.
They've already made a fool of themselves.
One team. He hoped the Bucs come calling.
That's all you need.
Come on, Tampa.
That's all you need.
LeVar Arrington and T.J. Houshmandzadeh are back. Let's move to the 49ers.
Oh, man.
Who blew a 10-point fourth quarter lead to the Chiefs in the Super Bowl Sunday, which had a lot of people questioning both Kyle Shanahan and his quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo. But yesterday, Shanahan had said he had gone over his play calls 1,000 times and had no regrets. And he was very supportive when asked of his opinion of Jimmy G, if his opinion of Jimmy G had changed after the Super Bowl.
Same as it was the day before the Super Bowl. I mean, there's no different. I mean, he was on his way close to Super Bowl MVP. And we all know we didn't make those plays at the end. But we made those plays all year, our whole team. That's one of the reasons we were there. And whenever you don't make those plays at the end in a game like that, first and foremost, the quarterbacks can get attacked and then usually the play caller. So we understand that's how it goes. Jimmy's one of the main reasons we got to the Super Bowl. I think he overcame a lot.
All right, no regrets about the play calling. Still all in on Jimmy G. You buying what Kyle Shanahan's saying?
Mm-mm, not at all. Don't tell me, coach. Show me. End of the first half, we know what happened. You had time on the clock. You had timeouts there, and you didn't choose to use them. Steve Young even had to come out, 49er great, and say, boy, you know what message you just sent to your quarterback when you don't trust in him in those moments. So even if Kyle Shanahan is trying to say, I always thought high of Jimmy G, but that moment I was trying to protect our team from Patrick Mahomes getting another opportunity, your quarterback is feeling the lack of love and the lack of trust in that situation, which becomes infectious to the entire team, and we started to see that play itself out in the third and fourth quarter. So I don't believe him because you got to let Jimmy G, if he got you to this place, get you to where you want to go, which is the mountaintop. So what explanation can you possibly give that says, with that amount of time, I don't fully put it in Jimmy G's hand? Now, he did take a shot down the field. We saw that to Kittle, and there was a penalty. But it just didn't go in sync when you have a quarterback you believe in.
What he's selling, I'm not buying it. And from the last six regular season games, the last six games Jimmy G played, he attempted – his pass attempts went down each game. He showed it in Green Bay. That divisional game against Green Bay, the NFC Championship game against Green Bay is where the team looked at it and said, oh, man, he don't trust Jimmy G. And Jimmy G himself looked at it and said, he don't trust me. They threw the ball 8 times. The game was well in hand. You could have let Jimmy G throw the ball just to show him, I do have a little trust in you. You don't trust him in the NFC Championship game. You damn sure don't trust him in a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then what did Kyle Shanahan say? Oh, I didn't want to call timeouts, and then we don't move the ball, and I give the ball to their quarterback, and they go score. Oh, you trust their quarterback a lot more to go score against your defense,
bang,
who's really good, than you trust your quarterback to go score against the Chiefs' defense. And so the team, they know good. It happened in Green Bay. It started in Green Bay, and it rolled over to the Super Bowl. It's not a surprise, but no, he doesn't trust Jimmy G, and they see it.
I'm buying it. I'm buying that there is a true belief in what he has put together with this team in San Francisco. I think the points are well stated that you guys put out there, but with all of the things you guys have said, going into 8 minutes, we're just – above halfway through, just under being halfway through the fourth quarter, and you have a double-digit lead over this team. So for me, I look at this team and I say to myself, he believed that his defense would be the catalyst of them winning this game. And no matter how we try to splice it up and slice it up, with 10-point lead, 8 minutes left, and you're not, I guess, trusting your quarterback. I buy what he's saying because I think that in the end he's blaming the defense for the loss.
I buy half of what he's saying. I buy that he still believes in Jimmy G. But I don't buy that he has no regrets about his play calling. And the regrets he has about his play calling or why he still believes in Jimmy G, because he knows he put Jimmy G in an unfair situation.
And the defense, maybe.
Yeah. And so I if he doesn't regret his own play calling and decision-making, I question his competence as a head coach. And I really don't have any questions about his competence as a head coach because I think he's great. There's plenty of things. Even Andy Reid regrets some of the calls he made in the Super Bowl.
Sure.
Even when he was so.
Everybody does, yeah, in so, every game.
Right.
Every game.
I don't buy that. I do buy that he remains confident in Jimmy G for the reasons we talked about earlier on the show this week and even going into it. Guy, first year off of knee surgery.
Yeah.
He can get better. And listen, at the end of the day, Kyle Shanahan has a lot of confidence in himself and his ability to get the best out of a quarterback. And so when you start talking about having confidence in Jimmy D, you're really saying you don't have any confidence in yourself.
Yeah, but experience tells me this is not it. This is some Geico commercial, the Pinocchio one, you know that one? That's one of the best commercials ever.
You did well, Jimmy. You could be a leader. You could win it next year, Jimmy.
Right. Coach, stop playing. When I was at my height and powers, there was no rotating in for me in third down, anything. I controlled it. Like, and LeVar, you probably know this because we were rotating. Come get me and drop your Gatorade, come get me. When I was coming down the mountain, you know what? I just see a dude running in. It's me.
Yeah.
It's because nothing is by coincidence in the NFL. They sit in those meeting rooms and talk trash about us or talk love about us, depending on how you're playing.
True.
So when, like TJ pointed out, when you go from 35 pass attempts against New Orleans, 34, 27, 22, 19, 8.
Increase every game.
What is going on? That's not coincidence.
It may be based off of necessity. I just don't think it's so clear cut to just say, okay, we're going to go away from Jimmy Garoppolo.
It doesn't matter if it's
Jimmy
necessity
Garoppolo.
Or not. This is a quarter. Dude, we all want to feel good about ourselves.
Man.
And when you're playing in a game and you know the coach doesn't want to throw the ball, you're sitting here like,
why?
Let me help you with your point. I want to clarify TJ's point about the 8 throws, and I never thought about it until you just said it today. The 8 throws in the NFC Championship, you know you're winning the game, you're up big, you're like, hey, man, I need my quarterback in good spirits and the right mindset
and
when we go to the Super Bowl.
Right.
So let me pad his stats with an extra 50 yards here, 5 or 6 throws. This game's in hand. We'll call some easy bootlegs.
Just looks a little better.
Routes. So he feels better, and they're not even dealing with these questions. I hadn't thought about that. That's a mishandling to me of Jimmy G.
Yeah.
That again, where I go to, that's where I think Kyle Shanahan still believes in Jimmy G.
The same thing that got them into the Super Bowl with that thought process is the same reason why they lost it in the stretch in the Super Bowl. Bottom line, Jimmy G knew what it was. Kyle Shanahan knew what it was. Everybody knew what it was. Why be offended by that? If he only had to
because
throw 8 times, he only had to throw 8 times.
It's an emotional mishandling. You go out with...
We all got ego.
You go out with my wife, and we go out with the boys, and my wife, don't get lost up in the boy time. Like, come back. You okay? You need your time too. Like,
yeah.
And he let Jimmy G watch everybody pop bottles on that team in that championship game, and Jimmy G didn't do anything.
Y'all sound too sensitive.
Oh, here he goes.
All right, stay right where you are.
I would say that.
Doug Gottlieb and Rick Bucher are back. Time now for Darnell's question of the day. All right, take it away, homeboy.
Yes, sir. Let's talk about my Lakers.
Oh, good.
Who ended up not making a big move before yesterday's trade deadline, with the report popping up that the team refused to give up Kyle Kuzma in order to complete a trade with the Knicks forward Marcus Morris. Kuzma's name has come up a lot in trade talks the last 2 years, but the team hasn't pulled the trigger. I want to ask you guys, you think they'll regret keeping Kuzma?
Yes, I do. I do think they're going to regret keeping Kyle Kuzma. They should have made a move for Marcus Morris.
No. Why? Why?
You can't here we have go. All
old. It's a win now.
Here we go.
You can't have all old dudes. You need energy. He's not old. Huh? Off the bench. He's Marcus 30, Morris.
He's 30 years old.
How old's Kyle Kuzma?
How old is Danny Green?
Danny Davis is not old.
Danny Green, I would have.
Danny Green is 32, and he's an old 32.
He's an old 32. He moves like an old man. Like, that's kind of the missing part of this is, like, they got Danny Green well past his prime. Look, Kuz, he just not found his rhythm this year. He's hurt to start the year. It's hard to learn to play with LeBron. He's playing about 10 minutes less per game. Less, his numbers are down. His attempts are down as well. He's going to be fine. That guy can score. He just has to find where he's going to and how he's going to score with this team. And part of it is, like, again, we talked about this earlier with Darren Collison. When you don't have somebody setting you up and creating shots for you, you're going to look like an inferior scorer. He's not a create-his-own-shot guy.
Oh, man. Doing local radio, Lakers station for a decade?
Yeah.
Boy, seen it all with the Lakers. And saw Kuzma come in day one. Has dog in him, star quality in him. He's gotten better every single month this year in terms of shooting percentage and in terms of just him getting points per game. What happened to him is unfortunate. Remember, Kobe and him had a great relationship because Kobe saw the same good attributes in him as well. Two of the top five players in the league are on his team. You imagine that landing on you, and then you're a young player trying to show and flex who you are. It's like when I was a young player, if Reggie White and Bruce Smith was there, like, there's no room to even breathe, let alone show how good you are. So that's what happened to Kuzma, and he comes into this season injured. This is a smart move to keep Kyle Kuzma because he has tremendous value. He's always wanted to be a part of the big three, but was set back because of injury and the fact that that dynamic of AD and LeBron and that great relationship. Sometimes you just feel like, where do I fit in? And let's just be real. Even LeBron the Great, when he went to Miami year one, had his issues of when to flex on Dwayne Wade despite being better than Dwayne Wade.
Marcellus hates when I do this.
Uh-oh.
But he just compared Kuzma to...
I know. Oh, God, Lord. I'm giving you dynamic.
Maybe... And look, he's
it happens to all young players.
He's not Bosh, but I do understand.
He's a young player trying to figure out where to go and how to breathe around these greats.
They will regret it for two reasons. One, because Marcus Morris didn't just not come to the Lakers. He went to the Clippers. So the team that they're very likely going to have to get through at some point just got stronger. The second part is, who is definitively the third best player on the Lakers?
Kyle Kuzma.
It's by slotting, on the stat sheet, it's supposed to be Kyle Kuzma.
Okay, you guys have made my point.
Yeah, I know.
If Marcus Morris was on this team, we wouldn't be having this debate.
Yeah.
Marcus Morris would be the third best player on this team. Marcus Morris has averaged 30 minutes over 32 playoff games. He shoots over 40%. He's been in the playoffs three of the last 4 years.
How's he done?
You know what you're getting with Marcus Morris.
How's he done?
If you're going to the playoffs. He's done well.
Did he?
Yes.
Did the Celtics over or underachieve last year?
You're putting all that on Marcus Morris?
He was on the team. He was supposed to be a guy who united them.
And if you look at what he did, I mean, we'll just compare to Danny Green.
Danny Green
is being looked at as part of a championship team with the Toronto Raptors. He was 4-for-23 against the Bucks. He shot 15%. He shot barely over 30% for the playoffs entirely. He had four games in which he was scoreless. Marcus Morris has only been scoreless in a playoff game once in his career in those 32 games. So I'm just saying, if you're in win now mode,
yeah. Thank you.
It's not even close.
Right.
Marcus Morris is a definitive playoff contributor. Kyle Kuzma might be. I keep hearing about what he's going to be. The time is now. You're either going for it now with LeBron James, or you're saving Kyle Kuzma and says, when we get through this little era with LeBron James, we'll have a player that we can actually play with.
Boom.
Have we watched the same year?
You only got 30 seconds.
Okay, the Lakers are 12-5 against playoff teams. Granted, they haven't beaten the Clippers yet. Okay, I would grant you on that one.
Yeah.
Okay? And I think kind of underrated in this whole thing is LeBron did not look like a superstar last night in the fourth quarter, scoring only 2 points. But Kuzma is going to get better, right? He's not.
He is.
He's gotten better every month.
But when, and will he be great in the postseason?
I don't know. We still have three more months of the regular season. And a guy coming off injury who it's hard to learn how to play with LeBron.
Thank you, Doug.
LeVar Arrington and TJ Houspenzada are back. Let's move to the XFL. where a lot of former NFL players will take the field this weekend, but at least one big name, Colin Kaepernick, won't be among them. The activist quarterback has been claiming he wants to make a football comeback for the last few years, but XFL Commissioner Oliver Luck said recently that the league never even considered Kaepernick for a role in the league. All right, the question here is anyone besides me disappointed Colin Kaepernick isn't playing in the XFL?
No, I'm not disappointed at all. He hasn't played since, what, 2016? I want everybody out there to just close your eyes and think about all the football players who were amazing you saw growing up and didn't make it. And then add to them the guys who you saw play and make it, and their careers got cut short. It's a long-ass line. I put Kaepernick in that long line, and I just put him in there, and I don't have any feelings for any of those guys because the NFL is not for long. It is not a privilege. It is a privilege, I should say. It's not a birthright. When you make it, you make it. You don't make it, you don't make it. Man, I ain't got time to hear this. I don't have time for anything else. And I didn't think that Kaepernick would play in this league. And he, by contract demands or whatever reasons, chose not to play in this league. So why would I feel more for him than he does for his own situation? So just like everybody else who's not in that league, all right, move on.
No, not disappointed at all. The question really, did Kaepernick want to play in the NFL or did he want to play football? Because if he wanted to play football like we think he wanted to, or like he supposedly wants to, you would play and show that you can play. But two things would happen. It would go really well, or it could also go really bad. And I look at it, he wants to play in the NFL. He doesn't want to play football. And so that's how I look at it. I'm not disappointed. Once he did what he did in Atlanta, nothing else surprised me. It showed me he just wanted to play in the NFL. He doesn't want to play football.
Which is so confusing and why I'm so disappointed. I'm disappointed in all of the attention that has been put on this. And for him to have an opportunity to do something on a stage where, look, you go into the XFL and you dominate the XFL, you're showing all this, I've been ready. I've been waiting.
Man, come on.
I get up.
Don't dominate the XFL. That's why you ain't been playing. That's why we ain't signed you.
You get up in your video and you're saying, I'm working out. How many did he just say? I don't take days off.
Countdown.
3 years, 5 a.m. for 3 years.
I ain't never met that dude.
If you're doing that much work, why wouldn't you do that work on a team? Why not do that work?
You know why.
And let that work be documented and show that you're doing that in a football environment. I'm disappointed because I feel as though for all of the things that people have pulled for him to pull through and be a part of the NFL at some certain point again, you would give all those people who are pulling for you so much leverage to say, look at what he's doing in the XFL. Now give him his chance in the NFL. It would actually give him more of a foothold or more leverage to say, I told y'all I deserve to be here. That disappoints me.
People are going to think I'm trolling because I'm a longtime Kaepernick critic, but I'm being dead serious. I'm a journalist. I love great stories. If this dude were to play in the XFL, it would be a tremendous story, whether he played well or played poorly. It would be a tremendous story. I don't give up on people. And even though I've been disappointed with a lot of Kaepernick's actions, I wish, and this is why I'm disappointed, I wish that he had a sincere desire to play football and go out on your sword, man. Because even if he went in the XFL at this point and played poorly, he can blame it on 3 years of rust.
Sure.
I would rather go out doing something that I love and fail and then move on, even if I failed in the XFL. But even if he showed flashes, just a couple of flashes in the XFL, I think it would lead some NFL team and say, damn, I wonder if there's more there, if we could develop it out of and maybe take a chance. I'm disappointed because I love stories.
See, and that's the thing, man. You got sold a story, man. Like, Kaepernick is winning. He individually is winning. His believers have been scammed. So Kaepernick sits there. We all trying to question, why wouldn't you? Because he doesn't want to. He doesn't love it. It's not that hard. Trust me, I could go right now. Marcellus Wiley presents all-comers NFL trial. Do you know how many people will show up at that school because they love football and just want a chance?
You'd be turning people away.
Man, I'd be like, capacity from hello. The thing is, Kaepernick knows there's more money in not playing, and there's more money if you're not going to be good. So he's sitting there, and he's just a social justice shoe salesman right now. All of this got to a place where he monetized it, which I said you should have did from hello, kind of like the more of the Jay-Z route or the NFL Player Coalition route, but do it in the spirit of people supporting you for your issues. But he's turned football love on his head. He's turned the social justice issue on his head in terms of being combative with others doing the same thing. And then wants us to root for him to play football again when he doesn't. When he had an opportunity to do the NFL workout, you know what his biggest issue was? Where the camera crew's at? And we thought it was because he doesn't want the NFL to spin his workout. He had the Nike shoes on. Cuh, ain't nobody stupid. And then you went to did your own workout so you can show your shoes. And then he puts out the shoes. I'm not mad at the shoes. I'm just mad at this whole big mockery of what we want from social justice and from seeing a football player being morphed together.
Gotta go.
Problem.
All right, let's move to a big name who will be on the sidelines this weekend. Bob Stoops, who will be coaching the Dallas Renegades. Stoops was a legend at Oklahoma and long considered one of the best coaches in college football. Mm. And this season, he'll be up against some former NFL coaches as well as some guys getting their first taste of head coaching. All right, question here is, does Bob Stoops give Dallas a clear advantage over the other teams in the XFL?
Mm-mm. No. You can walk in there and think that, oh, man, all my old success is just going to carry over. And he even said it. It's funny. Bob Stoops says, you know, people don't change. They just get older. So he's banking on his experience. Oh, but the game does change. And this is not the NFL and this is not college football. This is the XFL. You have to take a tutorial in the rule changes and the way that they play the game. It's some fascinating things. One of them that I love is their kickoffs. If you've seen the kickoffs, they're 5 yards apart. And you can't take off until they catch the ball. We're going to see returns like none other. There are so many details that are devilish about this game that are going to be beautiful to watch more than likely. But Bob Stoops, who said no to the XFL at first, but then was like, oh, I'm an empty nester. I like the golf, and this is kind of part-time. Perfect. Fits in my schedule. You're going to go against coaches who need to eat because of the XFL. And just like a veteran in football, that year 11 injury ain't the same as that year 2 injury, right? You're like, I don't know. I might tap out. And if Bob Stoops has that mindset that he's just going to bank on old experience or he may tap out because it's convenient, look out. It's going to be different.
He's going against coaches that this is their first crack at being a head coach. Winston Moss, Jonathan Hayes, Pep Hamilton, all those guys. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at they got something to prove. For Bob Stoops, he's proven himself at Oklahoma, and you can recruit the best players. Here it's a little different. It's advantage? No. These coaches is hungry. They want it. I'm going to tune in and watch the game tomorrow because I want that kickoff. It's going to be so much space and open field that
crazy.
That's going to be something that got other teams and will try to adopt certain things. They see the NFL will try to adapt to what they're doing just to make the game more exciting. But, no, I can't give him an advantage at all.
I don't give him the advantage. And two names that jump out at me is Kevin Gilbride, who I was with in New York. Fine coach. Had done an amazing job as a coach offensively in the league. And Jim Zorn, who was a head coach and was a head coach in the league ranks. So,
you have any success,
Jim? Well, Zorn? Yeah, but again, if we're talking about the XFL versus the NFL, I'm looking more at the experience versus the results. So when I look at Jim Zorn probably knows how to organize a roster. He knows how to organize the game plans in a way that it's commensurate with NFL or pro-level players versus college. So I'm looking at it from the experience, not from the success. So I don't give him a clear advantage. Pep Hamilton, you mentioned, is a fine coach, has done a great job. I look for him to be really, really exciting to watch. But it should be competitive based off of coaching DNA.
I'm the old man up here, so I'm going to – yeah, his experience matters. This guy was at the top of his profession for a lot of years.
In college.
In football.
Okay.
And so
college is different.
I get it. XFL is different.
Right.
This guy has a lot of high level football experience and success at that level. This is almost crazy that we don't think that a guy that
all
at
these
the
coaches
top,
do.
I'm about to say there are at least
whether players or coaching.
Three coaches that have more experience at the pro level than him. Yeah. More importantly, all of these coaches have name value, which is amazing. Kudos to the XFL. they didn't just get any coach.
No.
They got coaches who are trying to move up and look at this situation as something they're going to eat and feast off of. Reading about Bob Stoops and his incentives to be a coach in XFL kind of made me pause a little because
they had to beg him, basically.
Beg him? Yeah. He didn't really want to do it. He's like, can I golf still? Like, it was just a lot into it. And you're going to run against these young dogs, man, and they're going to be ready for this moment.
All right, Darnell, is there a Super 6 contest for the XFL's opening weekend?
Yes, sir, there is. And before the Dragons and Defenders game kicks off tomorrow, be sure to download the Fox Sports Super 6 app and play for free for your chance to win up to $10,000.
LeVar Arrington and TJ Houspenzada are back. Let's move to the NFC South, where a couple of teams, the Bucs and the Panthers, have big decisions to make about what to do with their quarterbacks. Jameis Winston became the first player to throw 30 picks and 30 TDs in one season. And now his teammate, linebacker Shaq Barrett, says another year like that could push Jameis out of the league. Meanwhile, the Panthers reportedly want to see Cam Newton back on the field before they decide his fate. All right, the question here is, which quarterback would you rather have next season, Cam Newton or Jameis Winston?
What? What? Did you even say Jameis Winston's name? And I like Jameis Winston, but stop. This is no comparison. The ceiling of Cam Newton still exists in my mind. And if he could touch
one's healthy,
any part
one's
of that.
Injured.
Yeah, but if that one that is healthy ain't injured, why you keep throwing the ball to another team like that so much? This is the funniest stat I've ever heard. Jameis Winston opponent scored 112 points off his turnovers. The Jets scored 233 as a team. So he out there giving up points. No, it's not even a conversation for me. Respect to you, Jameis, but it's Cam Newton.
Well,
112 points.
Yeah. I'm speaking from my perspective.
What?
I know Cam has won an MVP, been to a Super Bowl. I'm going with Jameis Winston. Mm. And I'm looking at it from my perspective as a receiver. He's not going to throw, at least I hope, he's not going to throw 30 interceptions again. But as a receiver,
sure?
If I'm Mike Evans,
sure?
I would rather play with Jameis Winston. He's not going to run the ball. He's going to give me an opportunity to make plays. He's going to give me an opportunity to put up stats as a receiver. Now, limit the turnovers.
Oh, stop.
That, limit the
such an easy thing.
Just give me 20, not 30. Just give me 20, not 30. But I'm going with Jameis Winston as a receiver.
Stop.
I'm going to stay with Jameis on this one.
Hey!
Oh, that's a curveball.
There's a curveball. But it's addition by subtraction. I mean, I don't know if Cam can stay on the field. I think the biggest question here is, if I had to take a chance on what I'm working with, I'd rather try to work on someone who is really great at times but can be really bad at times. He's a great conundrum. But when you look at Cam, if I make that commitment to Cam and Cam gets playing through injury on week two and tries to make it to week six or seven through that injury, I just don't know if that's what I'm looking for at this point, if I'm looking at Cam and Jameis. So addition by subtraction, at least Jameis plays, he tries, and when he's good,
he tries. Oh, coach.
And when he's
his
good,
receivers eat.
When he's good, he is good.
I never be one to play
when he's good, he's good.
I'm going to tell you what you really are saying.
Okay.
And it's the, because this is a very difficult decision for me. I can't, at the beginning of the segment, 3 minutes ago, I was going to say Cam. But I'm going to say Jameis, for not tries, football is important to Jameis.
It is.
He cares.
Don't think it's as important to Cam Newton.
Y'all.
That's what turns.
Are going to do this to the former MVP that it's not important. He wears it differently. It's okay.
You wear that jacket.
You wear that jacket. I wear this jacket. I saw Cam at the Super Bowl. That boy loves football.
He does love
we
football.
We chopped it. Cam is just eclectic.
He just loves other things.
Right. And he's different.
Things.
But let's not, you don't.
There's very few that get to that success level without loving it.
How about, it's very few in the league that don't love football. Now, somebody may show their love differently than you. He's the MVP. Raise your hand if you ever been MVP. You don't roll out the bed and become that. And it's not just God-given. It's you putting in work. And before he got hurt last year, 6-2, 68% completion percentage, MVP candidate. That's still there, y'all. Was Jameis ever in that conversation?
I agree.
You're changing your pick now?
Well, I'm not going to change my pick. I may change my pick just because you're right. He does care. Yeah. He does care about other things.
He just cares about
other things. And to me, the best football players narrow their focus of what they care about.
Narrow and deep rather than wide and shallow. Well, that's what they say.
And then, look, for every Jerry Rice, there was a Deion Sanders. And Jerry Rice had a routine, had to be this way. Deion, like, I'm a party my way and trust in myself. Like, we got to respect that so many Deion's guys get up there differently.
I thought Deion was a partier, and then I played with him and saw how much work he puts in behind the scenes. And maybe that's exactly what Cam is.
Cam does that.
But again, what's a question for me here is, can he be healthy enough for duration?
Man, I was coming out the huddle and Deion was telling me what we were running. I was like, after the game, he was like, when you guys do this, this is what you do. This is what Chad does. Just from formation, I was like, whoa. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That dude put in the time. I watched it. I learned a ton from him.
And that, again, that's one of the reasons why I've been very reluctant to give up on Jameis Winston, although for the most part I have.
I haven't, Jameis.
But he's on the field. You got a chance. You got your car on the track. You got a chance.
He's going to do silly
things. He is. But he does a lot of great things, too.
When he reduces his interceptions, 24.
That's 24. Your first pass is a pick six. Your last one is a pick six. Come on, man. Y'all trying to pick him up with Cam.
Uncle Jimmy's here to help us talk about our approval ratings for Steve Ballmer.
Thou know.
But first, who's your big dummy of the day?
Who is that? Thou? You?
Or the?
Hey, man, how you going to sit up here and say that you don't like Kyle Kuzma for changing his hairdo? Sound like somebody that's real happy with their newly purchased hairline, huh?
Oh, that's cold.
Real hair, bro.
Real. They saw fro.
I can vouch. He got a receipt for it.
All right, let's talk Steve Ballmer, who has outmaneuvered the Lakers the last couple years, including landing Marcus Morris at yesterday's trade deadline. Mm-hmm. Ballmer has been a highly entertaining figure since buying the Clippers back in 2014. Marcellus, has he become the most fun owner in sports?
Oh, yeah. Obviously because of his enthusiasm, but also the resources, putting his money where his mouth is and where his energy goes. So just building up L.A. and trying to rebrand L.A., Clipperville, and the fact that he shows his love for the game when he goes. He's not suit and tie and sitting there hiding behind his billions. That man is all in. It's fun.
All right, Uncle Jimmy, I know you're a gamer, so I'm sure you enjoyed my Whitlog today comparing Steve Ballmer to Mortal Kombat. Finish him! Finish
him! Hear ye!
Yeah.
This is the reason it says, if thou hast nappy and thou nose is snotty, be ye not surprised when thou get busted upside the head by somebody. Question for you.
Yeah.
How long have you been sleeping?
How long have I been sleeping?
You do understand that this is the year 2020, right?
Yeah.
You do understand that some things have changed.
Yeah.
Here, let me help you out with this here, blimpy Stilskin. Look here, man, some things done changed, man.
What?
Arcades don't exist no more.
I know, that's
true.
That hurts.
You don't have to go over to your friend's house just to play a video game.
That's true.
Not only that, you don't even have to be in the same state with them to play a video game.
Yeah. That's true.
All you need to have is some good Wi-Fi and internet connection.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi. Look here, back in your day, the big thing with you to get a woman, she had to have fishnet. Nowadays, if you want to get a woman, you got to have some internet, okay? See, I'm trying to tell you something. Listen to me. Nobody plays Mortal Kombat anymore.
That's not true.
Okay, we play Fortnite.
Oh,
that is
Look here, you could at least act like you in the millennium, okay? Look here, the bottom line, LeBron James out here playing ball like he on a Fortnite mission. And in the game of Fortnite, there is no team. It's a survival of the fittest. Mm. Battle Royale. Mm. The name of the game is to be the final man standing.
Mm.
Okay, take out everybody. That's what LeBron James gonna do. I ain't got no problem with Steve Ballmer doing. Steve. He can waste his money. He don't want none of that Fortnite smoke. But let me tell you something,
what?
Nephew. Some things you stay away from.
Mm.
Some things you don't want to be a part of. You leave it alone. And this Laker Nation is something you need to leave alone.
Mm.
You don't want to mess with him. See, you had to find out the hard way, didn't you? Called yourself trying to take up for Kobe and had Matt Barnes come for your head out of nowhere. Damn near took your head off on Twitter, huh?
I didn't know
Look here, man. You'd rather run through a forest fire with a pair of gasoline drawers on rather than fool around with LeBron James and the Los Angeles Lakers. Okay? I'm trying to tell you, LeBron James and the Lakers Nation, they're on a mission from God, and they shan't be denied. Play with them if you want to.
Why?
Huh?
All right, let me get to my Steve Ballmer approval rating. He didn't change for me. I still got him at a 69.
With his head.
He's doing a good job. I moved him up a couple points in all-time greatness. Moved to a point in
How you drop his job performance? What happened?
Because the season hasn't gone as well as I thought. I thought they'd be like have five losses at this point.
Second in the West. They only have four losses when Kawhi and PG play. But, you know, we managing some loads over there. So Steve Ballmer is a GOAT because of all he's doing in the community.
You know something about managing loads,
he gave $100 million to Inglewood just to say I'm coming. Goodness. I love him.
All right. Oh. The Internet agrees with you, Marcel. They got him at All-Star. Not quite GOAT. Oh.